This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. When singer-songwriter Roseanne Cash was starting out in the early 80s, she was part of the New Country movement. She's had 11 number one country singles. One of those singles won a Grammy. In the New York Times, she was described as the most compelling singer and songwriter to emerge from the progressive wing of country music. But she has a genetic connection to country music's past. She's the daughter of Johnny Cash. Her parents separated when she was 11, and Roseanne stayed with her mother in Southern California. Now Roseanne Cash has written her first book, a collection of short stories called Bodies of Water. Before we talk and hear a reading, let's listen to a selection from her new CD. It's called 10-Song Demo, and it is what it says, an album of recent demo records. This is her song, Price of Temptation.
Standing on the edge tonight, don't know if I'll fall or fly, but that's the price you pay for temptation. There's no other way through temptation. That's the price you pay. Well, I'll let the rivers cry through my eyes and watch myself go crazy with desire. But that's the price you pay for temptation. There's no other way through temptation. That's the price you pay.
Roseanne Cash, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Why is your new CD a CD of demo recordings as opposed to, you know, big studio productions?
Well, it was going to be a big studio production, and I was just, my husband John and I were putting some songs down at his studio, and I sent them to Capitol, my new record label. I'd just moved from Sony, to let them know what I was going to record for the first album, and they said, let's just release them like this. So I was very surprised. But I like the idea of experimenting like this and just putting it out very low key, no video, no big tour, kind of just putting it out for the pleasure of putting it out.
Now, you also have a new book of short stories.
Yes.
And the book is called Bodies of Water. How did you start writing prose?
Well, that's something I've been doing for quite a while, too. I wrote poetry through my childhood and my teenage years. And when I went to college, I started writing short stories. And I've kept doing that throughout my recording career. It's always held a great fascination and interest for me. It just, I didn't decide to write a book until, you know, a few years ago.
Well, I'd love to hear you read from your new collection of stories. Why don't you read the beginning of the title story, Bodies of Water?
Okay. All right, this is Bodies of Water. This is what I do. I wake up in a hotel, a nice hotel, orchids in the vases near the mirrored elevators. I have been there only long enough to sleep. I order room service and lie to the waiter when he asks where I am from. I go downstairs and get on the bus, purple on the outside, gray on the inside. Nearly all the band and crew have gone to their bunks for a few more hours' sleep. I put Bessie Smith on the stereo and think about her life. The bus we're traveling on is nicer than what she was accustomed to, I'm sure. But the essence of one-night stands and audience chemistry must be the same. Still, when Bessie played Atlanta's old 81 Theater in 1923, the mobs inside and out hung on her every note. But when I played in the same city's Tony Chastain Park last night, the white wine and brie crowd chatted during my entire set, which brought up my no longer existential but constant question, why do I do this? We stop at a Cracker Barrel for lunch somewhere in the deep south. My body goes rigid and limp at the same time in defense against what? The dirt brown uniforms, the cigarette smoke, my own unpleasant memories. There is a tangible density, a sluggishness in the deep south born of the heat and a fiercely defended spiritual myopia. I depend upon my traveling companions to smooth the hard edge of loneliness that cuts through my body, my dreams, and sometimes my performances, and I try to soothe theirs in return. I don't know how to love myself out here, and time has not been a helpful teacher in that regard.
Do you consider the story autobiographical at all? The part that you read?
Very much. Mm-hmm. Very much. In fact, I remember that tour. And it was very difficult.
Do you still ask that question when you're on the road? Why do I do this?
I stopped, really. You know, I
stopped being on the road, or stopped asking the question.
Stopped being on the road so much. I mean, I got to the point where I really seriously asked myself that question: do I want to be on the road 10 years from now, sleeping in my underwear with 9 guys on the bus, traveling all night, you know, breathing cigarette smoke and worrying about my voice? And I really didn't. It just didn't seem to have the kind of richness and dignity that I wanted for my life. So I tour very seldom. And now, even as I tell you this, I'm about to go on this book tour, which is the first time I've done this.
I bet the book tour will be a little different than a music tour.
Yeah, I thought it would be easier, but apparently there are slave drivers around here.
You're not on a bus, though.
No, not on a bus. That's true. Not on a bus.
My guest is Roseanne Cash, and she has a new CD called 10 Song Demo, and she also has a new collection of stories. It's her first book, and it's called Bodies of Water. One of the characters in your new collection of stories is writing in part from the perspective of when she was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was a child, she thinks, in the world in which I live, men are regarded to be irredeemable, selfish, and cruel, and women to be unfailingly virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can never truly take my place in that picture. Did people give you those messages when you were growing up?
Well, yes. I grew up around Southern women, and there was a very powerful stereotype of Southern women had and believed into, and the men too, obviously, that men were to be somehow redeemed by women, or they were irredeemable. And I know that there's actually some kind of spiritual basis for that. I mean, just to get off on a tangent for a second, that there are some cultures that believe that men achieve salvation through women. Well, certainly not Christianity, but other ones. But yeah, so there was this unspoken message that women were to be good and true and long-suffering, and men were to be wild and, you know, making mistakes and just waiting for a good woman to come along and fix him up. Well, I just knew. I mean, writing in that story, that's very autobiographical, too. In fact, that whole story is the first one, We Are Born. I knew that I could never fit into that, that I didn't believe it, and that I was risking being judged, you know, by the whole ancestral plate there, and that I was going to have to come up with something new for myself.
Well, you know, I'm thinking your father, Johnny Cash, is the ultimate in macho, and had a lot of problems, too, earlier in his life with drugs and so on. Did you see your mother as a person who was supposed to redeem your father?
Yes. I mean, my mother was Catholic, or is Catholic, and, you know, she's very long-suffering and very fiercely maternal. Her children were first in her lives and, you know, thought she could just work anything out with my father. Well, you know, some things can't be worked out. So, you know, it was tough for both of them.
And if your goal in life as a woman is to redeem a man, and you quote fail in that task, then everything is blown.
Right, the whole cover is blown. Then what do? You have to come up with something else.
right. So there must have been some rough periods for your mother.
Certainly, but you know, somehow assimilating that, and I came up with a different answer for myself. That I was only supposed to redeem myself.
Which is hard enough.
Which is hard enough, right. Let's just keep men out of the picture until that happens.
In one of your stories, it was the story we referred to before, the character's grandmother makes scripture cake.
Yes.
And this is cake where all the ingredients come from the Bible. Did anyone in your family make scripture cake?
Yes, my grandmother Cash made scripture cake.
And what is it?
Well, it's just that. There's I hope I explained this right, but there are verses in the Bible that refer to food, right? They'll mention a food. And so in her recipe, it would say, you know, Leviticus 4:9, or, you know, Matthew 14:2, and you would have to know what the food was that that verse referred to.
So it'd be like 1 tablespoon Matthew 14:2.
Right, exactly, exactly. So she wouldn't even have to look it up. She would just know that that meant salt or, you know, flour.
Were you expected to be as conversant with Scripture as she was?
No, because my mother was Catholic. I was expected to be as conversant with guilt as she was.
Was Scripture cake tasty?
I believe it was. I can't quite recall. I know my grandmother was a fantastic cook. I have memories, such profoundly moving memories of her food. Fried chicken and cornbread and coconut cream pie. She was wonderful.
And Scripture cake.
And Scripture cake.
Roseanne Cash is my guest, and she has a new CD that's called 10 Song Demo. She also has a new book, her first book, a collection of short stories called Bodies of Water. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Roseanne Cash, and she has a new collection of stories called Bodies of Water and a new CD called 10 Song Demo. Why don't we pause here and listen to some more music from your CD? I thought I'd play the song If I Were a Man.
Okay.
And say something about the song.
It's very ironic. One of the lines in it is, if I were a man, I'd change the way the whole world thinks. And it's very tongue-in-cheek because I actually do think I'll change the way the whole world thinks. Without being a man.
Okay, well, this is the demo version released on the new CD. This is Roseanne Cash.
If I were a man, I'd be so sweet. I'd give me everything I need. I'd be so glad to go this deep. If I were a man. If I were the moon, I'd hang so low. Bring sweet love to all below. I wouldn't change and hurt you so. If I were the moon. Well, it goes on and on forever, and there's just no way to know. I can change just like the weather. I'm as solid as a stone. If I were the wind.
Roseanne Cash from her new CD, 10 Song Demo. You've said that you've come to think of fame as something that, that as a child you thought of fame as something that destroys people and destroys families.
Mm.
Is that what happened in your family?
To a certain extent. Combination of factors. You know, my father was a drug addict. But I think it was exacerbated by how extraordinarily successful he was and the pace that he was required to keep and the time he, you know, felt he had to spend away from his family. You get caught up in something like that and you wake up 20 years later and say, oh, my God. You know, so I, having seen it from the other side, I was extremely, apprehensive about buying into anything of the sort. And in fact, I just wanted to be a writer. I just wanted to be a songwriter and a prose writer. I had no interest in being in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is a struggle for me. I still battle with that concept of doing your work in public and having strangers comment on it and think things about you that you're not in control of, you know. And
it was particularly hard when your work has to do with your life because your songs and your fiction are somewhat autobiographical.
Right, right. It's a paradox because I am led into doing the kind of work that has a deep emotional thread and...
sure, that's close to the bone.
Yeah, and the place I can be most inspired by that is my own life, obviously. I mean, I don't get it from television. So to do that and then to struggle with this concept of working it out in public has been a struggle for me from the very beginning. I'm getting more comfortable with it, though.
Roseanne Cash is my guest, and she has a new CD called 10 Song Demo. And she also has her new book, a first book called Bodies of Water, a collection of short prose pieces. Before you made your first record, I think it was right after you graduated high school, you toured as a backup singer with your father, Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. Did you know the songs in his repertoire?
Oh, sure. I mean, they had gone in by osmosis over the years, yeah.
So what was it like singing backup harmony with him?
Oh, it wasn't real. I mean, people make a thing.
It wasn't real?
It wasn't real. I wasn't really a singer. It was just cute. I was 18, 19 years old, and my stepsister, June Carter's daughter, Rosie, and I would walk out and cling to each other like we were standing on a cliff and tremble and sing these two little parts on a couple songs, you know? And it was just a dad bringing the kids out for a little while, you know? It wasn't a real thing.
So it was a way to be closer to him for a while?
It was a way to go on the road with my dad after high school and see the world and play.
I'm sure you observed the country music life being on the road with him. What did you like and what did you find distasteful about it?
I loved the travel at that time. I loved, you know, the nice hotels. I loved the attention. I loved hanging out in the dressing room and learning how to play guitar. I loved going to Europe, and I loved being educated about nice things, you know. And I would watch him every night, and just looking at his back or his profile, you know, and see what he was and see how long he had been doing this. And he seemed so timeless to me, as if he could have been a medieval jester or someone from the future, you know. He has this incredibly resonant quality to him that makes him absolutely timeless. And I saw how he related to an audience. It was a wonderful education.
Now, if you don't mind my asking about this, I know you've alluded to it in your work and talked about it before. There was a period when you were doing cocaine. And I was wondering, you know, after seeing the effects of drugs on your father earlier in his life, did you take that as a warning signal that, you know, being on the road and doing drugs was probably not going to be a very healthy thing?
Well, you know how it's like you can't tell kids anything. They have to make their own mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. I just had to go through it, I suppose. I did. I think my life really began over when I got clean.
When was that?
That was 12 and a half years ago.
Was it hard to do?
Sure.
Did it take you a long time to feel like you were...
not white-knuckling it anymore?
Right.
It took a while. It took a year.
Were you uncomfortable about listeners finding out about that part of your life? Or?
Sure. In Nashville at the time, there was this huge expose right after I had gotten clean, and they put me and several other artists on the front page of the newspaper saying, you know, these people have used drugs. It was just horrible. After I had told them that I had not wanted to be a part of this article, and they were saying, well, we'll only use you if you agree. And it was incredibly painful that my grandmother, who was 80 years old at the time, and my little children had to see this. You know, I felt like it was nobody's business, that my family had been through enough pain about this, you know, and then it was out there. It's like you can't, I wanted to heal in private.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the whole reasons why I have struggled with this concept of public life from day one, because mm-hmm. I don't feel like my life is interview fodder, you know? It's my life. And at the same time, I feel very connected to people that, particularly people I've gotten letters from who've talked about their own struggles and their own healing processes and what it's been like. And of course, I found out it's not been that different from me, you know? So, yes, I was hesitant about it being public, and I still am not thrilled about talking about it, because I don't want to put myself as some kind of activist about,
right?
You know, because that would just be setting myself up.
Well, Roseanne Cash, a real pleasure to talk with you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Roseanne Cash has a new CD called 10 Song Demo. Her new book of short stories is called Bodies of Water. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.